Welcome to Making It Fair, a podcast brought to you by the Canadian Council of Parliamentary Ombudsmen. I'm Lindsay Hunt, and I'm joining you from the traditional territories of the Lekwungen-speaking peoples in British Columbia, Canada. This podcast is all about fairness and public administration. We'll dive deep into why fairness matters and find out how ombudsmen with special expertise in holding governments and public bodies to account can make things that are wrong right. In this episode, Bradley Moss, Citizens Representative for Newfoundland and Labrador, and Sharon Sampson, Assistant Citizens Representative, discuss a report titled By a Thread, released last fall about the challenges parents and caregivers of medically complex children face.
Hello and welcome to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to our conversation today. My name is Sharon Sampson, and I'm with the Citizens Representative Office in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'd like to introduce you to our Citizens Representative. Mr. Bradley Moss will be joining us in conversation today. Today, we will be talking about a publicly released report from October 2023, released by our office. It's entitled By a Thread, and it's a report about the challenges of parents and caregivers of medically complex children. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks for having me.
To begin, maybe you can talk a little bit about what actually precipitated the launch of this investigation.
Sure. So the investigation was launched based on a cold call that we received, an individual who wanted to speak with us about the particular circumstances that they found themselves in with respect to providing respite care to members of their family who had a medically complex child. So essentially, it was just an organic complaint that came in as a result of a cold call. We decided that we would, after the individual left, it didn't take long, we decided that we would go ahead and launch a systemic investigation based on the allegations that we had received.
So I understand, Brad, that you heard from the citizen, you heard some of the voices and some of the issues that were representative of the population of folks who identify as family caregivers of complex children. I wonder how you were able to acquire the voices of the individual family caregivers that were part of the investigation. How were you able to connect with them personally?
Well, we had received from our initial complainant a short list of people who had, been experiencing similar troubles with respect to services and support. So through those key four or five individuals, we were able to get deeper into the networks of family caregivers and other support providers who had found a home online in social media to exchange ideas and share stories and such.
How were you able to pull them together to get their first-person voice, I guess?
The primary vehicle for obtaining their, their collective story was a focus group. And so we conducted a series of focus groups in a local hotel and invited not only parents and family caregivers and other caregivers, but also community sector organizations that that interact with this particular population. So between the focus groups, emails, telephone calls, we had some private meetings with folks who didn't want to necessarily gather with a group. That was how we sort of got our core mass of evidence.
I wonder, I know that you've talked a little bit about the types of issues that were presented at first contact, but I wonder if you could share just a little bit more about the types of issues that were presented to us. What I recall with going through the investigation was some of the issues were quite broad, and we had to determine what public bodies we were going to engage in. So it might be helpful to understand the gamut of the issues and then how we identified the public bodies that we would identify in the investigation.
Yeah, so there were, recurring public bodies in the evidence that we took, mainly health and community services, some issues with education as well, and of course the health authority as the the delivery vehicle for health and community services policy. And it was through those first person accounts that we were able to identify our respondents.
And of course, then you would reach out to the public bodies individually. How did they respond?
Public bodies were nothing but supportive. And some of us who were involved in ombudsman investigations sometimes encounter, a bunker mentality on behalf of public bodies. They feel as if they're being unduly scrutinized, or that the facts the allegations that we're presenting aren't factual. In this particular case, we received no static whatsoever from the Department of Health, Community Services, Education, or the health authorities involved.
They provided us with a significant amount of documentation and information, which was really helpful during our investigation. So we have all this evidence from caregivers, and we have the evidence from the public bodies. I wonder, upon analysis of this evidence, what did your findings point to?
Well, we found that there were some gaps in the system for family caregivers and parents of medically complex children. We did find that in crisis situations there were gaps. There was a need for more quality respite care. There wasn't much in the way of information available on future planning for these caregivers. They had some difficulty navigating systems, and also that they were having problems accessing therapeutic supports for themselves. They seemed to have, they needed support and resources to share their experiences. And, that there's a cumulative impact that all of that has on individual caregivers.
So throughout the investigation and after all this analysis, our office did come up with 12 recommendations that we believe are certainly imperative in supporting caregivers, family caregivers of complex children. If you want, you can talk a little bit about what those recommendations look like, or an overview, and how you anticipate that those recommendations will improve situations for caregivers.
Sure. Well, I'll answer the second part first, because, we wanted to be sure after we had released the report that there was going to be actual progress made towards these recommendations. And so we approached the department to ask them to appoint a senior official who could meet with us on a quarterly basis to give us an update on, where they were going in terms of implementation and, certain checkpoints along the way towards full implementation. So we did want to get to the recommendations, and I would encourage people to visit our website to get a full scope of all of them, because there are 12. But we were looking at things like developing policy for acute care admissions of medically complex children, adult children included. We thought that home support workers should be introduced to acute care admissions to provide optimal supports for the family. We believe that respite care should be based on the needs of the child and not the family's income. We think that there should be a more of a professional approach to respite work in the area of medically complex citizens, and that was geared towards the education department. We want them to engage with Memorial University to look at co-op programs and faculties within the university that could develop respite care workers to plug those gaps in advance of an eventual professionalization process. We want semi-annual reports with respect to, residential support needs for medically complex children and adults, because they are aging out and they are becoming adults. And so there needs to be some consideration given to how they are going to be housed when their families are no longer able to take care of them. We wanted consultations, between the health department and those who are affected by rare disorders, and to try to work towards better standardization of eligibility criteria to include persons without diagnoses. Also, this was an important one, to facilitate the creation of a ministerial advisory committee with significant parental caregiver representation, just to put them in a room with policymakers so that the lines of communication are clear. We wanted a meaningful study and an action plan on programming options for medically complex adults because of the wait lists that exist in the community sector for meaningful programming. We thought that resources need to be found and allocated to increase the availability of therapeutic counseling for parents and caregivers, and that there should be a central internet hub developed for information, specifically geared towards this subset of our population. So a provincial care and special needs support system where all the resources and links for the associations and organizations can be easily found. And then finally, we wanted to draft and sponsor, not us, but the Health and Community Services, to draft and sponsor a Caregiver Recognition Act that raises awareness and recognition of caregivers to support them in their role. And that's more than just lip service. We think that there's an opportunity in drafting that legislation to get the minister involved and perhaps have a requirement that the minister report back to the House of Assembly on the progress that is being made to make the situation for parents and caregivers of medically complex children just a little easier, because the burdens that they carry are so, so heavy. And this section of our population is, I wouldn't say hidden, but they are not in a position to lobby or bring their particular concerns forward. They're just too busy.
I think it's fair that I can speak on behalf of all of our staff that we're all more than excited to continue to monitor these recommendations. And you've alluded to some of the connections or a connection that we've made to be able to monitor going forward. And this creates an additional piece of work for our office, which we're more than happy to take on. But as we know, of course, systemic investigations can be large and intense pieces of work in a relatively short period of time. Specific to the investigation and given the resources of our office, how were you able to effectively manage this important systemic work while balancing the day-to-day operations of your office?
Yeah, well, full credit to the team. I mean, this is a true team effort. It wasn't just a situation of one or two people. Everyone in this office pulled at the oars to move this file forward, right from our office manager and executive support, right up through our staff investigators, and of course myself and you, Cher. So, it was a true team effort, and the buy-in that was required was almost instantaneous. From the moment that we walked out of that first focus group, everyone found the time. It wasn't something that you just worked off the corner of your desk. They did put in the extra effort and the extra time to keep us, on our prescribed timeline. And we were able to get it done in a satisfactory period of time for both us and the folks who came looking to us for help.
A really interesting part about all of this as well is that we had the buy-in from, we had cooperation of the families affected. We had the buy-in from our staff. We had cooperation as well with the public departments, as we've already mentioned. So that was key in terms of springing this forward. And of course, every single person involved, I think, recognized the issues and had concern for the plight of family caregivers. Why do you believe, Brad, that this work is important for family caregivers? And also, why do you feel that this is important work in the ombuds world?
Well, first of all, I think it's a looming public health crisis, and that's not my words. That's the American Pediatric Society, who's recognized that as we deinstitutionalized in the 1990s and sent a lot of these children home, they are now reaching a stage where they've reached adulthood, and the parents who were relied upon to provide care in the home setting are now no longer to lift. They're no longer able to carry their aging out, and they're prematurely aging in some cases. So I think it was important to give them a voice. It's one of the things that Ombuds offices do around the world, is to give voice to the voiceless. And I think that that's the seed into the next question, which is why we felt it was important work in the Ombuds world. And again, it was to give an opportunity, you know, following a neutral investigation, but giving an opportunity to a subset of our population, as I alluded to earlier, that's just too busy and worn out to organize and lobby and, you know, be out front of the issues that affect them, just because there aren't enough hours in the day for them to do simple things like, you know, just activities of daily living, getting the banking done, getting the groceries, you know, home repair. And, you know, what happens if, you know, someone in the family ends up going into hospital or something and your routine is completely upset? Dealing with siblings and their needs also takes a lot of time from these folks. So we wanted to, you know, sort of step off the podium once we had made our recommendations. And in the media event that we had, the majority of the time spent was, you know, the first person account of a couple of these parents and family caregivers about what their experience is. And that Those testimonies really carried the day. You know, there were, you know, short clips of me and some guy in a suit, you know, but it was the human interest story in all this that really gave the findings and the recommendations the traction that they needed.
I think it's fair to say that everybody recognizes this as an important issue, one that deserved the awareness that our work and public report brought to this. And we'll continue to carry on our piece of work about the following up with the recommendations and hopefully continue to report to family caregivers and make some effective change for them. Thank you very much, Brad. This has been a great conversation. It's been very informative. I'd like to let our listeners know, as Brad had said before, that if you'd like to check out more details about our recommendations or the actual public report, you can find that on our website at www.citizensrep.nl.ca. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Making It Fair, Fairness by a Thread. If fairness matters to you, we encourage you to like, subscribe, and share our podcast. Thanks, everyone.